This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning and welcome to Drive Through Radio. Car care for you right here on AM 790. I'm Adam Zangari, along with my dad, Paul.
Good morning, Adam.
His little brother, John.
How you doing, boys?
And our producer, Brett Ferrucci.
Good morning.
Now, they're here to answer all your car questions, so don't be shy and call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
Hey, happy birthday, Grandpa.
Oh, thank you. I made it that far this week. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Another one put into the record books, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your gift has been sitting on one of the end tables at home for a while. it was right next to this computer I brought.
Good. Oh, yeah, I know how you do that.
Yeah, well, you know what happens when you get older. You forget things.
No, I don't. What are you talking about?
See, you forgot already.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say.
Anyway, you were talking about some electrical developments.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of things for electrical to come up with. Tesla, Volvo, Toyota. Yeah, guys.
Speaking of electrics, did you see what Consumer Reports rated as the top green car?
Probably not the one it should be.
Which would have been?
Well, can you get 63-plus miles to the gallon in a Volt?
No, well, it wasn't the Volt.
No.
It was the Bolt.
Oh, you know, that's what's wrong that name?
The problem is that Chevy already went and used the name Volt on a car that's kind of, I don't know, how do you...
I saw it.
It's gasoline and voltage.
And they show the picture up in a second, in a half a second.
Yeah.
And you go, and they say, Volt, you know.
I know, I think amp might have been a better choice.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Or what?
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 A whole lot of things you could go with that.
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly.
Who's on first?
Watt's on second.
Yeah. I don't know who's on
second. And Watt would have been their second green car, so that would have fit, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know how it could be at this point. It doesn't have a track record enough. Mm. You know, we don't know how good or how bad it is.
None have been launched into space.
Yeah, and just for example, I'm sure that somebody must have gave the Vega, the Corvair.
Corvair was car of the year for 1960, and it deserved it.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, but how their track record turns out, it doesn't matter how much you like it. It's how well did it work when it got out there, and how long did people buy it, keep buying it.
I have to jump in when you mention that, though. However, because the Vega turned out, nobody came back and said, what a great car.
No. Well, actually, I bet you it had some real good reports at the beginning. Until they started to drive for probably just enough to get it warm.
Well, you know how many people said, you hear that sound? What's that? It's my Vega rusting.
It isn't quite that fast, and I know rust never sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah, but the point I'm making is people came back and said the Corvair, in retrospect, was as good a car as
Priuses,
people thought.
Priuses, 18 years, Corvair only made it 9 or 10.
Made it 10 years,
depending on how you want to count.
And 1.75 million in 10 years ain't bad.
Well,
especially since the Nader scared people out of buying them the last four.
Yeah, but when you see the production numbers for the last four,
they're
nowhere near the first... Yeah. The first 5 years, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So I think the car needs a track record first.
Well, but that's where, something like Car of the Year, it isn't really true. You know why?
Well,
if something is innovative, it's innovative when it's new. 10 years down the road, it isn't anymore.
You know what? The Car of the Year could be the Heisman Trophy.
Yes, and explain yourself.
How many guys won that Heisman Trophy and went nowhere?
Well,
a good amount.
You know, so you maybe you want to stay away from that. Who knows? But anyway, the other thing about cars, there's other hybrids that came and went. For example, there was a Nissan Altima hybrid.
Yeah.
There was the first Insight that came in, it made a big splash and didn't go too far.
Well, the reason it made...
It was a half a car.
All right, but here's why it made such a big splash. Even though the Prius was the first production hybrid car by a major manufacturer, the Insight was the first hybrid car by a major manufacturer sold in the U.S.
Yeah, and it did not deliver what the EPA said it would.
Yeah.
I think that's another reason why we call it comic book.
Oh, you're talking about the EPA mileage.
Yeah.
Compilations. Yeah.
And then there was the GMC Chevrolet pickup truck.
Which one?
See? I told you. Well, you hybrid, it came and went.
Oh, the hybrid. That was a neat truck.
It came and went.
I really enjoyed that
thing. And in fact, I swear General Motors told nobody about it.
Well, yeah, that's just it. If you keep a vehicle a secret, how are you going to sell it?
I don't know.
I'm amazed.
They should only send us the cars we want
that
they want to sell.
Yeah. But they did put one of those in the fleet.
They did. That's the only reason I knew about it.
I thoroughly enjoyed that thing.
And then we had one.
Did what it was supposed to.
Cadillac, the big fat Cadillac SUV with the hybrid system in it. And it was interesting because it was 20 highway, 20 city.
the Cadillac 2020 is what they should have called it. Yeah.
John Paul was asked by someone and said, don't you hate this car because it's 20 city, 20 highway? He goes, well, it's better than the one without the hybrid system, which is 20 highway, 10 city.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that one came and went too. So,
Now you remember that for a while Honda was doing an Accord hybrid. I think they stopped for a while and they came back with one.
Yes, they did an Accord and did they put it in a Civic? And now they back out with an Insight.
Yeah.
But now hybrids are pretty much not one out there. You've got Toyota
selections
on like three or four different ones. You got Honda. I think Nissan has announced they've got one. Hyundai or Kia has one. And then, of course, General Motors.
By the way,
the Volt.
As opposed to the Bolt.
Yeah, the Volt is kind of a hybrid, even though they like to call it an extended range electric.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. There's more problems that these cars are causing more problems than people realize. And I'm going to talk about that after the break.
By the way, I do have a news flash to point out, and that is
news breaks, we're going to fix it?
No. No.
Since when have we ever done that?
Yes. A hybrid car, the definition of a hybrid car does not include having a panel bisecting the rear window horizontally.
You know? It should, huh?
It's really funny because that kind of caught on, if you will, with the Prius. I mean, I understand why they did it.
But it takes getting
used to looking through that mirror, right?
It does. Yeah. But you know what? Only the, I'll call it, regular Prius has that.
Yeah, but it's amazing how many other cars, many of which are hybrids, borrowed, if you will, that design.
I'm not in big favor of it. It does take some getting used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Although when you think about it, the lower part of it could have been blacked out and you would have thought that you were just driving like a 71 Mustang Fastback.
I got news for you. That's the part you look out the most.
Yeah, I know. That's why they put glass there instead of a steel panel.
That's right.
Because I'll bet the glass weighs more than the steel would have.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it's electrified as well, so it's got a little copper running through it.
Yeah, using up a little bit of power.
I know.
There goes your mileage.
Well, yeah, you know, you worry about things like that.
You cheap.
What do you mean? You know, what can I tell you?
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you more about that after. Why don't we go to a break?
What do you think, Adam?
All right, let's go to break then. And hey, you guys know how much you guys love to talk, right?
What?
You guys love to talk?
We do?
Yeah.
All the time?
I mean, we do on this show. So, hey, if you got a car problem, car question, car issue, you can call us and they'd love to talk to you. So our numbers are 401-437-5000 and 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio will be right back after this. Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, where our headphone adapters are finally back to full strength.
Yay!
All right.
Yes, there's a lot of junk that I didn't put in my drawer but things I was looking for. Oh, wait a minute. We're on the air now?
Yeah, that's not why we're playing Electric Slide.
Oh, okay. Well,
we're all dancing.
My headphones are electric.
Was this a wedding? That's the next song we play after we play Gangnam Style at.
Or the Chicken Dance. Or the Chicken Dance, which is, of course, you know the automotive connection on that one.
Yeah, that's Carroll Shelby.
Of course you would.
Well, no, and there's two of them. Uncle John got one of them, Carroll Shelby, the race driver who became the father of the Cobra, which is just one of the neatest sports cars ever made, used to be a chicken farmer. You know why he got into racing?
Why?
The chicken farm failed, and he needed some kind of work.
Yeah, and there's an automotive connection in Gangnam Style, too. There are cars in the video.
Well, there you go. But
and they're made in Korea.
Yeah, however, that is true, you know, about Carroll Shelby. And also, there is the chicken tax. Are you familiar with what that is?
No, I'm not.
We'll talk about it later. You wanted to talk about electric.
All right. A bunch of electric things happening this week. But I'm going to start off with one that isn't electric, and that is you just love to hear these kind of things. BMW to recall 11,700 cars after installing the wrong engine software. All right. So it'll make electric cars probably more viable. But anyway, BMW
if they get the right software.
Yeah. BMW also is seeking to find a production site for mini EVs in China. Hope they all stay there.
Well, there are some Chinese Buicks being sold here. The Envision, I think, is from there.
I'm certainly not for that. This is good news and bad news, by the way, for Tesla owners and probably any electric car owners. Tesla is approaching 200,000 vehicles.
Oh.
Which means that the tax credits will start
The incentives,
phasing
yes,
out.
They fade.
All right. Yep. So that the cap at 7,500 is going to disappear eventually as Tesla becomes more successful. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's good news and it's bad news. Also, with Tesla, someone has spied a new Tesla Roadster, is what they called it.
Flying around.
At a test track, and they said Tesla,
Oh, you mean a new one? Because that was the earlier model.
Yeah.
I drove one of those.
Yeah, well, that's why they call it a new Roadster,
mm-hmm.
you know. 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. is that fast enough for you?
Heck no.
Not really, but, you know, that 100 miles an hour in 4.2 seconds, people that, and by the way, on the website that I found this on, there's people, of course, commenting, and they're just totally against electric cars or against Tesla for some reason.
Yeah.
But they seem like the ones who think, well, just because it can't race doesn't make it a good car for certain part of the automotive segment.
Now, why is it that it can't race?
Well, I guess its fuel tank's not big enough.
Yeah, it probably
doesn't meet
some standard in the rules.
Yeah.
Now, but if they made it an unlimited class, look out.
Well, then there's also a race called Formula E.
Yeah.
Which is all electric cars, and their speeds are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they would be when you think about Tesla can do this with a car. Well, Volvo also...
Yes.
Is going to debut the Polestar 1 in the Geneva Auto Show, which is one of their hybrid cars. But it's a hybrid with a 93-mile electric-only range, or what they call pure electric.
Yeah, right.
All right. Now, of course, and by the way, what a weird number, 93. Well, because it's 150 kilometers, that's why.
Yeah.
All right. But anyhow, which is okay because they live where they use kilometers. So that part's fine. But hopefully the 93 is the actual mileage that it will do versus, under ideal conditions
kind of
thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we hope that... I actually hope it's successful. Volvo talked about where they were going to go, I'll say, all electric or hybrid, which means they'll have no gas-only cars, which is fine because hybrid cars can go
You can drive them like your conventional car.
Right.
Sure.
Right. It's not like an electric car where you have this other problem.
You need
range
to be able to,
anxiety.
Yeah, or need to know where you can plug it in.
Right.
Yeah.
And have the time to sit there and plug it in.
Even though that there are faster charge
Superchargers
times now.
Superchargers are not.
But they're not everywhere. They're fast, but they're not everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that once they approach once they've hit 10-minute recharge.
Yep.
They'll have that problem solved.
If it's something that you can do anywhere.
Yeah, but here's the also thing. All fast charges never seem to go to 100% of battery capacity.
Yeah.
All right, so if they go to 80 in a 10-minute charge, okay, now you don't have your full mileage, but 10 minutes is better than an hour.
Yeah, it's kind of like stopping to almost fill your tank.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Because
right now you can easily fill a gasoline car in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Less than that, yeah.
Or your F-150 Raptor with a big, fat
gas tank.
Yeah. You could probably do that in 10 minutes
as opposed to timing your fill time with a calendar.
Now, of course, if you're one of these people like me who owns a hybrid car or an electric car, you're not going to be too happy with the state of Maine. The state of Maine said, hey, pay your fair share. EV and hybrid owners in Maine are outraged over the targeted vehicle tax. What they want to do is they want to slap a $250 registration fee on an electric car.
How many years ago did we say this kind of thing was coming?
And 150, I lost count, 150 on a hybrid. And I'm saying, first off, let's separate this. Totally wrong. First off, the point was that they didn't pay any road tax to be incentive.
It was an incentive to go green.
We're not there yet.
Let's slow down a little bit because...
No, we're talking fast.
No, the reason I say this is you and I can fast forward through this.
186,000 miles a second. Buddy.
Yeah, but the problem is that not everybody listening has been paying attention to the whole thing from the beginning. What they're talking about is because of the fact that these cars use less fuel and there's the road tax on the fuel, they want to compensate for it by putting in these new registration fees.
Wrong attitude here.
Please. Yeah, but as you pointed out, the idea behind those road use fees not having been imposed was to encourage people to buy cars that used less fuel and possibly polluted less.
Well, and look at the money they're saving everybody by polluting less, and also because the price of gas has to go down because they'll have a glut of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, they need to separate hybrids from electric cars on this deal.
Because hybrids do use gasoline.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they use very little, does that mean they're going to all target all these little mini cars?
Well, that was the next point I was thinking of. There are some cars out there that legitimately, with just a piston engine, get around 40 miles per gallon.
Right.
That's pretty close to what...
Are they going to target them, too?
Yeah.
Or I could say, hey, I don't get that 65 miles to the gallon in my Prius. I only get 40.
Well,
there's people who do, and they tried suing, and they lost.
Yeah. Now, this is the exact inverse of how the system used to work, where in Rhode Island you used to pay more to register a heavier car than you did
a
lighter car.
Actually, you still do.
But for a while, it went flat fee for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, but the idea was the lighter car cost less to register.
Mm-hmm.
And now we... what's the point I'm making here?
I don't know.
No. All right. And the lighter car used less fuel, obviously.
Right.
All right. So this is going in the opposite direction now, where the cars that use less fuel would have to pay more because they use less fuel.
That you know, there's something wrong with this thinking over here. But, of course...
It sounds like be careful what you wish for.
Right. And I'll bet you the state of Maine is not worried about air pollution because they probably have more
people... All those trees...
More people cutting down trees and burning them for heat than a lot of other states
than
in
say
New
in
England.
Manhattan or
that's for sure. But any other state in New England, I'll bet you they have a lot more trees getting cut just for that.
I just thought of something I saw in Manhattan one time. There's this neighborhood where along the sidewalk they had these areas that were about four of the squares. With a tree in the middle of it.
Yep.
There was dirt with the tree, and there was one with the tree missing, and someone stuck a pole in the ground with a sign that said, insert tree here.
I don't know. That some people do have a good sense of humor. One more last thing. The Ontario Police Department unveiled their all-new fleet vehicle. One vehicle for duty.
Okay.
It comes under fire, though.
Ontario? You're not talking the entire Canadian province, are you?
No. But it says Ontario Police. I don't know which
one. The only other Ontario I know of is a community in California that would require more than one police car.
You know, anyway... maybe they only have one car. Dudley Do-Right, is it? Is he the one?
I don't know.
But anyway, their new police car is a Tesla Model X sedan. All right? Now, they're getting criticism that they're spending way too much money on a police car. I don't know what your average Ford Explorer police car costs. Okay, but I picked it because it's bigger than the other one, the little smaller one there, right?
Yeah.
And so it must cost more money.
Yeah.
And it's probably because it's an SUV or a CUV, it probably costs more money than the Dodge V6 police car. But anyway, how much more than that would, of course, one of these cost?
Well, the incentive is still there, isn't there?
I don't think that the municipalities pay taxes.
No.
All right.
That's right. It's not a credit. It's a tax credit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, the Model X, people are complaining because it starts off at around $100,000 for the base model.
Don't know how to tell you this, but this is history repeating itself. Back when lower priced cars were slow and more expensive cars were fast, lots and lots of police departments, I'm talking like in Prohibition, 1920s, used to buy things like Lincolns
and Cadillacs.
Caddies.
Yep. Because it's the only cars they could get to catch
the bad guys.
Because that's what they were driving. So anyway, this Tesla starts off at $100,000, then throw on the police package. But I find it interesting. I'd like to watch the videos of the cops putting the perps in the back seat because this is the model with the
gullwing
rear doors to see if they hit more heads against the doors or fewer heads against the doors.
Or hit the head as the door comes down and it automatically goes back up.
I'd like to see that.
But they're fast. If you're going to do chases, they are fast.
You're only going to buy one police car for your whole fleet of policemen.
Well, I'm sure they're buying more, but it doesn't say in the article. Yeah. But I'll tell you, they may save a lot of money on fuel. You never know. It might make up for it. Because how many times...
Police cars idle a lot.
They do a lot of idling. And the one that always bothered me is when you see the cop there directing traffic at a road construction site, and you see the tailpipes got smoke coming out of it, and the cop's not in it. Now, come on.
Isn't that how that state police car got stolen last year?
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was left it running to go somewhere.
Yeah.
This is the
But that's
ancient...
what I mean. It was a police car that had no cop in it.
I think this is ancient tech dictating this here. Because in the old days, if you had a carbureted car and you turned it off and it wasn't right perfect, you may have a difficult time starting it up.
And probably put out as much crap as it did idling.
In an emergency, you couldn't get started and go right away.
Mm-hmm.
Today's cars, everything starts up instantly. Nobody knows what cranking a car over is anymore.
Yeah, really.
You know, and so it would, same theory that goes, well, why the firemen take the fire truck to the grocery store?
So they have it in case they need it.
If the alarm goes off and they're at the store, they leave from
the store. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to head to break, guys. But if you have any car problems or any car questions, we have the best in the field in this room. Uncle John, he taught automotives at Cumberland,
And Davies, and to Toyota's Davies. Technicians, and yes.
And you?
Society of Automotive Engineers still used to be a certified tech.
And then there's me. I haven't done any of that.
Adam, you ride in cars and we'll be driving them soon.
Still.
Yep.
You can call our numbers at 401-437-5000 and 1-888-345-0790. Ride Through the Radio. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, and I finally have my permit.
Yeah, you do. And I guess, well, parking lots to start, right?
I suppose.
All right, people, stay off the sidewalks.
Now, look, Adam learned how to walk and chew gum at an early age, so I think he's going to be fine behind the wheel.
It was a nice 3-hour wait in the DMV.
Yeah, it was. Well,
is that all?
Well,
I know. It was surprisingly short.
Well, actually, the problem was it was the day after Washington's birthday. Actually, you know, it's not officially Washington's birthday. I mean, it is officially Washington's birthday, not President's Day, but everyone calls it that. But the registry was open on Washington's birthday.
They were closed on Monday.
Yeah. No, that which was Monday. The registry was open all 5 days last
really?
Week. Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we even mentioned it on the news last week. But
did anybody go?
No, but the problem was that we weren't able to go on Monday when the woman at the window on Tuesday told us they were there pretty much all by themselves. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Tip for the DMV, I guess. If we're going to have to be waiting that long, you might as well add some more seats in the waiting room.
I suppose so. A little earlier, I teased the fact I was going to talk about the chicken tax. Mm-hmm. The chicken tax actually is something that affects the automotive world, and that is at some point, and I think it was in the 1970s, as a lot of European countries were getting a lot of cheap chicken from the U.S., they thought we were dumping. No, it's essentially that Perdue and Tyson figured out ways of raising chickens cheap.
Uh-huh.
All right? But
they use robotics.
Yeah, retaliatory taxes were put in on our chickens. So mm-hmm. we put in a tax on imported vehicles. If they were passenger cars, they had a tax on them. The trucks didn't. The trucks had the tax on them that the passenger cars didn't. That's why the Chevy Love came here from, where was it, Korea, I think. It was without the box on it. So it was just a cab with seats.
That's why Toyota pickup truck had the box made over here.
And why the Subaru Brat had the seats in the back. But now you get the Ford Transit Connect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're still doing it this way, but I know when the early ones were coming here from Turkey, whether they were going to be trucks or the passenger version, they all came as the passenger version and got converted to trucks, which most of them were being used as. Most of them were being used as trucks, but they all came with seats and windows.
So, right, it strikes me as weird, but anyway.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've got a caller. Scott from North Providence. Welcome to Drive Through Radio.
Hello there, Scott.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
You bet.
Yep.
Okay, listen, I just picked up a 2010 Nissan Sentra.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a ton of miles on it,
mm-hmm.
But it runs like a top. It was an awful good deal. But I got to change the oil, and I don't know what's in it. And could I just go to synthetic, or if it's been the other stuff, should I just stay with that? I don't know.
As someone with a...
What's a ton of miles?
Yeah, I was going to...
Well, it's got 116 on it, but I had an Altima that I put 240 on, so I took a shot on it. The price was right, and I got out of it the other day. I almost forgot to shut it off. I couldn't hear the engine on it.
Geez.
It's so mint.
Well, Scott, when I got the first of the 09 Ford Flexes almost 3 years ago, it had 222,000 miles, and I started with synthetic from the very first oil change, and it's been fine.
So, Scott, what you want to do is just find out what weight oil it's supposed to have and just have that weight put in with synthetic oil.
Yeah, and you know, I will say that it's a lot more confusing than it used to be as far as picking the right oil is concerned today. And I don't mean just in terms of the basic mineral oil, the semi-synthetic and the full synthetic, but a lot of manufacturers have different recommendations that they didn't have before.
Yep.
You know, it used to be that if you went with S followed by a letter.
SJ.
Whatever was the highest letter you could find, it would be good for pretty much all engines. That's not the case anymore. Even that Starburst doesn't apply, that you see on the oil cans, does not apply to every vehicle anymore.
Yeah.
So, there are specifications in the manual that are the minimums that the car maker says it has to meet, and this takes for a little bit of reading. Most of the synthetics, as far as I know, meet most of those, but I don't want to make a blanket statement and say buy any synthetic and you're going to meet the car maker's spec.
But I do think that the 2010 is new enough that the newest oils will probably be just fine for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check what Paul said, you'll confirm it or not, and you'll know what which way to go.
I've got semi-synthetic in the Corvair.
I run synthetic.
I'm full synthetic. Full synthetic.
I run full synthetic in my older cars, whatever the weight is that it called for. It was probably a 5W30, and it was conventional oil, and I put in synthetic, and there's no problems. But what you should do, because the car is new to you, you don't know how it's going to behave, I would check the oil on a very regular basis until you see that it's not using any.
Mm-hmm. Or leaking, because there have been reports that because of the increased slipperiness, however you want to put it, that if an engine tends to leak oil, it's going to more likely leak the synthetic.
That is correct. And so you just want to check. And if it doesn't leak, well, shouldn't have a problem. Or it doesn't burn it, you shouldn't have a problem after, let's say, a couple of months of, you know, watching it closely.
You know what kills me? At a quarter million miles, the first 09 Flex still isn't leaking.
Well, that's a quick complaint. So, Scott, I think if you follow that advice, you should be okay.
All right. Good luck, Scott. Thanks for the call. Hey, coming up at the Lars Anderson Auto Museum in Brookline.
Yeah.
And in fact, our friend George Kennedy is going to be with us next week to talk a little bit about it. There's the Motormouth, it's a community speaker series. And one of them that's coming up is actually Women's Motormouth. And I don't have a whole lot of details about it, but it's going to be a slightly different take. You know, it's not just guys behind the wheel. I'm thinking I knew one of the pioneers as far as, you know, women in the automotive scene. That was Denise McLuggage, who had been a racer who became an automotive writer. And, you know, she was kind of a pioneer. She's since passed away, but I think 1950s was when she started, 50s or 60s. So, you know, she had kind of a head start, if you will. She's not the first. I think Emily Post's niece did a long road tour, we're talking about 100 years ago.
But she must have done that politely, though.
Very politely, yes, yeah. Yes. She didn't beep her horn at folks. Yeah. Hey, one other thing I wanted to bring up, and this is an automotive, if you want to call it, service issue. The brake shift interlock. You know what that is.
Yeah.
Adam, you may not know what it is specifically, but it's something I'm sure you may have already encountered moving a car in the parking lot. You know, when the car is in park and you're getting ready to move somewhere,
mm-hmm.
How do you get it out of park?
You shift it.
But what's the entire procedure? There's footwork involved, right?
Yes, there is.
And what's the footwork?
Well, first take your foot off the parking brake.
Well, no, you have to. I'm talking about actually. All right, let me run through it. You've disengaged the. Well, I wouldn't disengage the parking brake just yet. The way I usually do it, mm-hmm. is I get in the car, and I've started it up, while the parking brake is still on, I step on the brake and go click into reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Release the parking brake, let my foot off the service brake because I got 2 feet. And away you go. I know. Yeah. I know some people who don't. But
but not all parking brakes
are pedals.
Right.
Yeah. But the that became a requirement to not necessarily. Some people don't use the parking brake. All right. But the stepping on the brake pedal in order to get the car out of park became a requirement quite a few years ago.
My 98 Chrysler Town and Country did not have that.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't across the board until probably the 21st century, but it started coming in as a result of the problems that Audi had, where people claimed...
Boy, did they!
Where people claimed their Audis took off on them because, oh, it was in park. Well, it might not have been park, but they might have not... It might have been in park. It might not have been in park. They might have knocked it out of park.
Oh, whatever. How about that pedal on the right was not the pedal on the left?
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, to avoid the kinds of things that happened where you could accidentally drive off when you hadn't intended to, they made it so that you really intended to. You had to have your foot on the brake and be conscious of the fact you were taking the car out of park.
They had a name for that, and it was called unintended acceleration.
Yeah, in the case of the Audis, yeah.
Yep.
So, of course, any time that you've solved one problem, you can create a new one. And we'll talk a little bit about brake shift interlock problems when we come back.
Yep, and we'll be right back after this break. But first, I was not prepared for that.
Surprise!
Anyway, we have podcasts on 790business.com, so if you like our show enough, you might as well listen in there. Brett gets our shows up pretty quickly after we're done with them. So ours from today should be up soon. Drive Through Radio will be right back after this.
You're broke down on the side of the road, damn brakes locked up in the rain. Smoke's pouring out from under my hood, stuck on the highway again. Too young to quit, too old to change. Baby, what am I going to do?
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio. Dad, you have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that in just a few seconds we're going to talk a little bit more about this brake shift interlock issue. But, Adam, there's some folks going to be swinging some clubs around Kirkbray for a good cause, right?
Exactly. We have an FBLA golf tournament coming
up
at Kirkbray.
That's Future Business Leaders.
Future Business Leaders of America, yes. Our high school's doing it. One of my best friends is kind of running the show there.
I didn't. You haven't introduced me to him.
Yeah, I know. He's
I don't know. I don't know him.
Anyway, the tournament will be held on April 19th, 2018. And if you need any more information, you can visit our website, golf4fbla.com. That's golf4fbla.com.
I'm glad you pointed that out because it's an unusual spelling.
Yeah.
Not if you golf.
Four, five. If I were trying to golf, it would be four or five swings before I actually hit the...
And then you're seeing double.
Yeah, really. No, so anyway, brake shift interlocks. The idea is you step on the brake pedal and you cannot take the car out of park unless you have stepped on the brake pedal.
Right.
Now, there is a recall underway right now for Dodge Ram trucks, all right? And we're talking recent models, some 17s and 18s, from the 1500 series all the way up to the 5500 series. It says chassis cabs. They're pickup-based, so it could as well be pickups with the column shifter, not the floor shifter.
Uh-huh.
All right? Which, if you sit idling in park with your foot on the brake for an extended period, evidently the solenoid that moves the pin that keeps you from shifting out of park unintentionally gets stuck in the open position. So at least you don't get... stuck, you can take it out of park.
It gets stuck so you don't get stuck.
Exactly. But then you put it in park again and you don't intend to move it out of park, but you accidentally, like you move your arm and you knock the shifter out of park. Accidentally, the vehicle can roll. The crazy thing is that the recall, and this affects quite a few trucks, the recall is going to be reprogramming some software. It's not actually... fixing the part that overheats. What I suspect happens is that it's just not going to keep it energized so long that it gets overheated.
Uh-huh.
So at any rate, there is that. But now the opposite problem, actually one of my colleagues here who went to drive to work, and she got in her car and she started it up and she put her foot on the brake and she went to pull it out of park. She did, but she stopped in neutral and the interlock held it in neutral. She could not. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it supposed to do that?
Obviously.
She take her foot off the brake?
Yeah, and step back on the brake, and she couldn't get it out of neutral. So anyway, as luck would have it, her place is on the way when I was coming in. So, yeah, I'm sure I'll have a look at it, right? It turns out, sure enough, it was the brake shift interlock. Now, anybody who's got a car with a column shift... is probably out of luck on this. But if you've got the shifter in the console, a lot of times you'll see a little something that you wonder why the heck it's there.
Yeah.
In her car, there's a little trap door just behind and to the left of the shifter. Then it just popped it open, dropped a screwdriver inside, and was able to find the release, because most cars do have a manual override.
Mm.
And she was able to get it into drive and take it to work. Of course, then it got stuck here in the parking lot at work. But they came and got the car and fixed it.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself in that kind of a situation, you usually have a way out. Most cars have some kind of a release, and it's not always obvious, but it will be in the owner's manual if it isn't. Like I say, in her case, oh yeah, there's the trap door. Let's flip it open and see.
Yep.
But sometimes it's like a secret handshake where you go through a certain procedure of like maybe stepping on the brake three times while pushing sideways on the shift lever, and that'll get it to release. You know, there's various ways.
I was thinking about what the reprogramming may be, mm-hmm. and it may be if you hold your foot on the brake pedal for more than, let's say, 20 seconds.
X number of seconds,
30
yeah.
seconds, whatever, it locks back up.
Right, and in order to get it to unlock, release, and re-step.
Yeah.
So that it's not the constant pressure. Hey, there's something that's been going on in southern Rhode Island, going back a little over a week or two, and that's the construction of the toll gantries.
Oh, lovely.
You've heard of that. Now, I haven't been there to check on them, but I understand.
It was foggy this morning.
Yes. Well, besides which, it's just not on the beaten path for the way we come in.
Yeah, I know. Yes. You've got to pack a lunch to go mm-hmm. there.
Yes. But at any rate, they're getting close to the trial phase, and there's two trial phases coming up on these when you think about them.
Yes, there is.
There's my understanding is that the structures are in place, and the electronics, if they aren't ready to go to be tested, are very near it. But the word from DOT when they first announced that we're starting the project is that by late February, which is about where we are now, we're going to begin trying out the equipment, and the truck tolls are going to begin working in March. So as I say, they're probably at the trial phase where they try them out to make sure they're going to work, and then the Rhode Island Trucking Association is going to bring them into another trial phase where they haul them into court.
I think they have to wait until the first truck gets tolled and the first car doesn't
before they can
go to court on
yeah.
this.
But the whole situation about tolling and gantries was something that Wired touched upon online. And it's actually in Wired.com. It's kind of, you know, an online magazine talking about the fact that the entire country is running behind schedule on getting tolling systems to cooperate. Now the last long trip that I took, Adam, you remember we went to Washington, D.C., right?
Right, and we'll be going again this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do it on Route 66, though.
No, you can't. No. But the thing is that all the way from here to Washington, every time we hit a toll, our Easy Pass worked for us, right?
Yep.
It doesn't work all over the country. In 2012, Congress passed an act that said that by 2016, all of the different electronic tolling systems are going to have to be able to cooperate with each other, because turns out here in the Northeast, most of ours are coordinated through New Jersey, and I guess New Jersey and Pennsylvania teamed up.
It's all of New England, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania,
Maryland,
yeah. and probably Delaware.
Yeah,
and D.C. maybe,
and possibly Virginia. But
so the Northeast really is covered by one.
One, yeah. But there are other parts of the country that have a different system, and if you drive through with an Easy Pass, they're going to snap a picture of your plate and send you a bill.
Florida.
Yeah, because your Easy Pass isn't compatible. Anyway, by sometime in 2016, they were all supposed to be able to work with each other, according to that article in Wired. And we're still waiting.
Colorado, they did some in the Boulder, Denver area, and they, I think, purposely decided not to work with anybody. They did their own.
Yeah, and it gets very confusing because then they have to send bills and all this other stuff, and there are different rules in different states as far as maybe minimum balance in your account before they start hitting you with a surcharge. I mean, it's all kind of crazy, and it does need to be coordinated.
In Florida, there's more than one system. There's like three. Well, one, I'll say System A, System B, and then System C, which is a combo of A and B.
Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, that's going to do it, right?
Yep. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining Drive Thru Radio this week. If you like today's episode and you want to listen to it again, podcasts are online at 790business.com. Thank you, Brett, for a great show. We'll be back here same time next Saturday.
All right. Check your mirrors and signal your turns. We will see you soon.